In today's episode, we will be discussing US Black History Month and highlighting some of the great achievements and contributions to business throughout African American history. African American people have had a major influence on entrepreneurship, finance, and innovation over the decades, which has led to the success of many valuable products and services we benefit from today, as well as African American accomplishments in media and in sport. While these have all had an important impact, a large amount isn't common knowledge or recognized by everyone. One of the most powerful ways to promote racial equality is through education. By learning about the experiences and perspectives of people from different backgrounds, we can gain a deeper understanding of the challenges they face and how racism affects their lives. We can use this understanding to advocate for change. Today, we have three guest speakers joining us on the panel today. We have Becky Ferreira Escriva, who's a managing consultant. We have Sean Friday, who is an associate. And we have Luzianne Nuta, who is another consultant at Delta Capital. Brilliant. So before we get into all of our questions, I wanted to just start off by asking everyone on this call, what does Black History Month mean to you? Maybe we can start with Sean.
Absolutely. Black History Month means everything about, you know, just our place in this country and at the society at large. You know, just having it go from starting off as a week by a Black educator in the United States, and then it growing into an entire month, and hopefully, you know, something even, you know, bigger and longer throughout the year. And so much so that we also have a Black national anthem. So the history is very important. It's important to know that it didn't just start with slavery and it didn't kind of end at the civil rights movement. You know, there's a lot of things that happened before and a lot of things that are coming in the future. So I think it's just important to pay close attention to what Black people have done and are doing in the United States just to further and better their own lives. And of course, once again, the society at large.
Brilliant. And Luzianne, yourself?
Black history for me is a period of celebration. It's a period of acknowledgement of the roles that Black people have played throughout our society, even though for a long time they were not recognized for those roles. It's also a period of reflection, thinking about where we want to move forward in the future, where we see ourselves as a community, and what it is that we think we ought to change to achieve a more equal, a more inclusive society.
Brilliant, thank you. And Becky, how about yourself as well?
For me, it's a period of cultural celebration of African Caribbean countries that are enriching us with their excellence, and also reminding us the journey that they went through and how they are where they are nowadays.
Brilliant, thank you. I think, yeah, like you guys point out, it's obviously looking back at history and how African Americans have contributed to history, and also looking forward. So yeah, I think that's really good to see that's what it means to everyone. Next thing I'd like to ask is, how do we celebrate Black History Month in our workplace? How do we celebrate the history and the future that you guys have highlighted?
For me, it is the great time to actually bring in, you know, this Black excellence, and obviously, you know, educate people among us on what is about Africa, what is about the Caribbean, because that is more than just a place where you will go for a holiday. It is enriching us, giving us direction of what they go through every day, day in and day out, in that parts of the world.
Yep, and Sean, how about yourself?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Becky, and also, you know, bringing that piece that we didn't learn in school to the forefront. I mean, now we're older now. Now we have this wonderful thing called the internet, and just being able to even share this throughout the organization, you know, this is great that DC is doing this. Like, it's so important that you know, a whole group's history that's been kind of swept under the rug or glossed over or talked over, and you know, just operating in this very, very small box, is now being, you know, opened and explored and expanded, and the field is growing. And I remember, you know, how popular even like African American studies is becoming in colleges now, before when it, you know, it was just seen like a handful of people who are just like, you know, fight the power. No, it's an actual deep dive and a real, you know, intellectual experience. And yeah, so I think that it's great to see how we're celebrating it now. We're just paying it its right homage, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And Luzia?
I agree with Sean. I've always been very proud of DC with the way that they embrace cultural diversity. And they've done that so often through their cultural nights or through the UK Black History Month that we had last year. So I'm always proud to call myself an employee of DC just because of that. But at the same time, you know, we have a long way to go. There's other ways that we can celebrate Black history at DC. But one thing that I'm very confident about is the fact that they've been very open to these possibilities. So it's just seeing how we move on in the future.
Yeah, and I think as well, I think you guys have highlighted it, is it's about education as well. A lot of people don't really know much about it and maybe are scared to try to invest time into understanding and studying about Black history. So providing educative materials like we are now on our podcast, I think that's a really good way to ensure that we have a good recognition of Black History Month in the workspace.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Moving on to a next question now. So it's about Black people, specifically more in business throughout history. I'm sure there's been notable names in history that have had a great influence on the things that we do, the things that we buy, the things that we see. Would you guys like to highlight some of the key details that you wanted to highlight from Black people in business?
Yeah, sure. I think that Black people generally have always been faced with barriers when it comes to business and everything else, really. During slavery, we know that Blacks were not allowed to own anything. And if they did, it was very limited as to what they could own. We also move on beyond that during the Jim Crow laws of segregation in the US, where, you know, they were only segregated to their own community. And the same thing was repeated during apartheid in South Africa. And even here in Britain, we had that element of segregation. But there's this thing that I love about being Black, and that's our Black resilience. And that basically means that despite all these barriers, we still managed to find opportunities out of these situations. And this meant that we were able to create things that maybe the other parties wouldn't have been able to because they just didn't face the adversity that we had. So, for example, a random fact I found out yesterday was that Charles Darwin was actually trained by a Black taxidermist, John Edmonston. So a lot of Charles Darwin, everybody knows who Charles Darwin is, the father of the evolution theory. But behind him was a lot of his training came from a Black man. And, you know, and we don't know that. So reading into Black history and discovering these things, knowing that in America, for example, within the Black community, they were very big in the insurance business. Again, these things are not really highlighted to us. And I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think it's just the way that history have gone. And ultimately, some of these people ended up being forgotten. But thank God we're here, right? Because we're here to actually highlight the hard work that they've done, and we're here to actually pioneer their work.
On that note, I think that I would like to add that, you know, I think that it's been a massive expansion within business, especially, you know, since Rihanna actually launched her makeup collection, actually catering for people of color. Then it's been several startups within that sort of ambit. You know, you got hair care for African American and, you know, obviously for the Caribbean, African Caribbean. And I think that's very important because up till now, no one actually thought of the big population that they needed access to that cosmetics. And furthermore, I remember one of my ex-colleagues, she was from Cameroon. She would always complain about her tights. She was like, you know, these tights are actually making my legs look white. This is terrible. I don't like it. Guess what? Her and some other people actually launched something dedicated to tights. And I think it's fabulous because she had a point. I did never thought of that. And then I clicked and I was like, actually, she's right. It's not your color. I think that perhaps Rihanna was one of the catalysts for this industry to actually pick up, and it was about time.
No, you're absolutely right there, Becky. And also when it comes to Black-owned businesses, for example, I know that here in the UK, there's very little of Black-owned businesses and people don't know about it. So there's some, I think it's Raphael Sofoluke, who went on and created the UK Black Business Show, whereby every single year, every Black-owned business person gets together and network with other companies. And these events are sponsored by JP Morgan, HSBC. So we're actually having these big brands recognizing the power that comes with Black business and wanting to get involved. And that's the same thing with Anne-Marie Omifedan. And she's the creator of Demet, which encourages Black people to get into
startups, right? This will encourage the Black people at startups.
Yes, and also to get into STEM. So I think it's technology and maths.
Technology, engineering and math.
That's right. And big fact about Anne-Marie, actually, her and her family, they are officially the cleverest people in Britain in terms of like their math school and everything. So it's very exciting to know these things.
Yeah. And, you know, especially with all that we just said, and I'm looking at the business too, from like two sides. Like there's a business, just regular business acumen, like, you know, like we invent things and we create things and then we got to market it. And then there's that aspect of like sending everything out. Like Madam CJ Walker she went around the towns and she went to the big squares and she moved from the South to Chicago to make sure that her business would actually take off, because her product was revolutionary, because there were no Black hair care products. And even though it was to change the characteristic of Black hair, still the moving away from like changing it and now embracing it with these new products, these new more current products. And then actually now we have the ownership, something that we couldn't have once again as business too. And just owning that aspect, because there's so many things that we just create and then we kind of give away or taken from us, you know? And it's so important to, in the history, like recognize, hey, you know, we actually contributed to that too, because it also helps to dispel so many rumors. So when you see more successful Black people in business and Black people creating things and holding on to them, then it'll start to change that conversation and it'll start to get rid of a lot of prejudices that have been building up for hundreds of years, that we can, you know, actually start to progress as a people. I mean, everyone, not just Black people. I mean, as an entire world, you know, population. And, you know, just even thinking about the Master Connector, the Black Godfather. His name was Clarence Avant. He was famously known for getting Coca-Cola to endorse Hank Aaron, who was the most prolific baseball player in his time and back in the 70s. And, you know, because Coca-Cola being such a huge company out of Atlanta and Hank Aaron playing for the Braves, Clarence said, hey, I'm going to edit what he said to the CEO of Coca-Cola. He said, Black people drink Coke too. So he ended up getting him that huge endorsement. And, you know, when you're playing sports, a lot of athletes' money comes from endorsements. So he was saying like that was the biggest check he's ever seen in his life. That's what Hank Aaron said. And he was like, and that was thanks to, you know, this Black man who just saw like a need and was able to put people from different worlds together to make something, you know, even bigger and more popular and got somebody paid, you know, and that's what kind of started those endorsement deals rolling in for a lot of Black athletes.
Yeah, no, I think all the points you're saying are very, very good. It's quite interesting to hear the influence that Black people have had in the past and what they have now. I think as well, when you think about rock and roll, you think of Elvis Presley, but you don't know that Chuck Berry was a very big influencer for Elvis Presley.
And Little Richard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As well as when you think about the light bulb, everyone knows it's Thomas Edison, right, that created the light bulb, but they don't know that it was Lewis Howard Latimer who actually created the carbon filament in the light bulb that allowed it to be sellable to the everyday person and allowed the light to last for a lot longer. So people don't actually recognize how much influence Black people have had in certain inventions that they use today. And it's maybe someone else's name that's the kind of the forefront of it. Similar to what you said about Charles Darwin, Louisiana, I think. I think you guys wanted to highlight some other areas of business. I think you said some Jack Daniels, Sean, about the history of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, so
and
even,
Runch.
You know, yeah, oh yeah. So with those two things, right, even just with Jack Daniels and it becoming more popular in the last couple of years that, and more widely known, that it was actually Nares Green that showed Jack Daniels how to do it. And Nares Green was a slave on a preacher / distiller's plantation. And this was over in Tennessee. And, you know, he used a technique with like the coal and everything to filter the whiskey in order to give it that unique flavor and that smoothness. That's why it was called the best in the area, even though Lynchburg, as we know, the dry town. But actually, Jasper Jack Daniels, he was also a worker on that same plantation, that farm. So it's not like he was just Big Shot that came into money either. So now Dan Call told Neris Green to teach Jasper his technique. And then that's why we got Jack Daniels, and they make all these different varieties of it. And some of them, one of them, 1856, that bottle actually commemorates Neris Green's huge contribution to that process. And especially looking at ranch dressing, as small as it seems, I mean, you can't even have, like I said, the Super Bowl parties and all these other big tailgates that we do for like football and other sports. And, you know, ranch is always on the table. And, you know, Steve Henson creating it in 1949 just to keep his people happy, you know, because he was in Alaska as a plumbing contractor. And he said, hey, you have to keep his crew happy. So he invented this dipping sauce so that way they can have it and enjoy it with their food. And it started to really take off and people were asking for it. And then he started sending out the ingredients, and then you could add like your own buttermilk and all this extra stuff that that might not travel too well, but you know, it's just great to see it. And Hidden Valley is the ranch that he actually, that's his complex. That's Steve Henson and his wife's home. So Hidden Valley Ranch Dressing is actually the original and is based on where it was actually invented.
And also there's this stereotype of black people and chicken. It's like, oh, black people like chicken. But there's a reason for it, because back in slavery time, black people were only allowed to own chicken. They weren't allowed to own any kind of cattle. So because of that, again, they had to make the best out of the situation. Yes, fair enough. When you think about fried chicken, southern fried chicken, the cooking method came from the Scots, but in terms of like the fried chicken that we know today, the spices and all of that, that comes from West Africa, something that, you know, the blacks brought from Africa during slavery time. So again, if you go to the chicken shop, you buy some chicken, but you just don't understand the influence that black people have had around such a small thing.
Or perhaps it would be more the reason why it was only chicken, right?
Precisely.
And also, even when you were saying, I remember we were discussing before and you said that, you know, it was also like it was a method of storing it and keeping it, you know, fresh, because there were no refrigerators back then. So here we are having to travel with food and go long distances. And how do we preserve the food? You know, used to be just spices. Now we don't need that, right? Now we're just throwing in spices to spruce it up and make it taste good. But before it was actually born out of just necessity and having to preserve the food.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to understand how much of the things we use and buy today are influenced by, you know, black people in history. So, I think this is really, really interesting to kind of talk about and to highlight as well to DC and the rest of the world, I guess. And it depends on how far this podcast goes. touched on food. We've touched on and other inventions that have been created or had some sort of influence by black people in the past. Did we want to highlight any achievements in sport and in media as well?
Yeah, actually, you know, I love triathlon and I love going to watch marathons as well. And, you know, it's something, you know, in New York Marathon, London Marathon, Boston Marathon, any marathon around the world, you know, when you get the elite teams, you're just there waiting for, you know, this African, Caribbean, American or British tall guys, you know, it's incredible to see them run. Absolutely incredible. I believe that the best runners in the world, in fact, the top 21 of this year, they are all black, all of them. For the men, we got Usain Bolt, 100 meters record, 9:58 seconds. Unbelievable. For females, Elaine Thompson, 100 meters, 10.70. It's incredible.
No, I totally agree with you there, Becky. But then again, I love history. This association with black and sports and maybe black in music, again, it comes back to how little opportunities were afforded to black people back then. So because they didn't have such easy access to education, they kind of concentrated their energy to those things that were easily available to them. So that's why how black people ended up excelling in things like music and sports. And yeah, you are right. When it comes to the fastest people in the world, they are black. Like, for example, the Dibaba ladies, about four sisters from the same family in Ethiopia. And they are the fastest long distance runners in the world, and year after year they've kind of beaten each other's records. I think that's an amazing achievement.
It is. I would like to say that I had the privilege to visit Sierra Leone, and you know, I was fortunate enough to run a marathon in Sierra Leone myself. And frankly, I just think that, you know, obviously it is the resilience that people from that part of the world actually have. It is, you know, they got nothing and they just put all the time and effort and all the energy. It doesn't matter the pain. It doesn't matter. They are able to channel that pain through the suffering that they got in their own lives. And I think for me, you know, I take my hat off. And I think that's why I love to go and watch them, because I think, you know, you came from poverty, from a very poor country, but here you are showing the world how great you are.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. And I think it's really important to understand, again, Lizanne, that the history of how that came about to what we see today. So that's really helpful to know that. Maybe my final question, and it's more looking forward now. So we've obviously talked about the history, a lot of detail. But I say looking forward, how do you think that Black people will continue to have a major influence on business? And how can we also educate ourselves and our colleagues on the impacts that Black people have had, you know, everything we see today, and how do we kind of see that progressing going forward? Maybe just a couple of words from you guys on that.
For me, I think allyship is so important. I can't reiterate enough how important it is.
For me, I think that allies is such, you know, the word ally itself is such an important word that we must actually add to our vocabulary. So I would like to start by actually saying, you know, defining what it means. It means an association with another as a helper, or let's say as a person or group that provides assistance and support. Now, throughout my career, I have observed some levels of bias within the corporate world in general. I'm sure that some of you might have noticed at some point. However, I have had the opportunity here in DC to actually mentor and be the career manager for British Afro-Caribbean reportees. And I can actually recall our first conversation. But prior to this, you know, I did do some research. I was thinking on what can I do better and how can I have a positive impact in their careers from a manager and leadership perspective. So during my research, I came across to an article. It actually reads as, "I'm a Black woman and my mentor is a white privileged man." It was an eye-opener and actually inspired me on becoming an ally and a mentor for my reportees and to give them the best shot I could. So the first meeting I opened up with, "I know you might not feel represented by me. Can you imagine? One of my reportees is the size of a rugby player." And it was to try to say, you know, I do understand that it might not be what you're expecting that as management, right? But rest assured that if required and due to adversity or free will, I will make sure that I will introduce you to one of my friends. It is an ex-coworker, senior colleague, and he's actually African born. And, you know, if required, he could help us and give us guidance where perhaps I could not understand my reportees. This did land in a very positive note. And then we strategized how we could expand our network, establish their brands in the firm, and obviously reach out to mentors at board level. We built a team as we speak together, and I will never speak, you know, over him. We will speak always together, which I think is very important. So we have built trust and honesty to our satisfaction. We accomplish all our objectives. So by saying this, I would like to encourage anyone in leadership across the industry to read the article that inspired me. At the same time of building this allyship that is a vital support for Black excellence at the workplace. And I have said that, I would like to also finish it with one of the quotes that inspires me as well. "The time is always right to do what is right." And that was by Martin Luther King.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Becky. And Sean, Lizanne, just very quickly on the future and how you see Black people moving forward.
Yeah, I think generally, there's so many negative connotations associated with Black people. And because of that, sometimes us as Black people, we can feel like it's us against the world. And like Becky says, allyship is very important. And I think it's very important for leaders to kind of recognize the potential that Black people may have. Not everybody, but you know, everybody has some kind of potential, but recognizing that potential, nurturing it and working alongside the person to achieve something greater. That's what I would really like to see. I don't like the idea of segregation. I love unity. And I think that if we're working for the same company, then we should come together regardless of our skin color or our background or anything that divides us, but actually come together to achieve that one goal, which is to make our company the best that it can be.
Agreed. I am extremely proud of my reportees and of you guys for being here. I mean, seriously, I'm proud to get to know people like you.
Brilliant.
No, everything like that stuff is very important. Like the allyship is so crucial because while we're a very self-sustaining community, it's hard to for any community to exist in this because we're not by ourselves, right? In this country and in the UK and several countries, we're all mixed in. So it's like we need to still have that outreach and to dispel a lot of those rumors and negative connotations. And you know, and it is great to see that. Even when, like, for example, we have Plessy versus Ferguson in the U.S., right, back in 1896, which the Supreme Court said it's okay to be separate but equal, but it was not equal, right? Mm-hmm. The separate part was easy, but the equal part got left, just obliterated until almost 70 years later, you know, and with the Civil Rights Act. And I'm like, but to have a company and, you know, for us as even individuals and in a group, you know, to recognize that, hey, even if the people upstairs or other people are getting it wrong, we here can do what we can do to make it right, to do what is right, just like Martin Luther King said. And, you know, it's good to see that even if like the government is doing it the wrong way, we have a place of business, a place of employment that also recognizes that we're made up of people. We're not made up of machines. We're not made up of, you know, animals. We are all people. And that's crucial to look at and to kind of like leverage, always leverage it to improve everyone's condition, really, because you don't want to have an upset person working right next to you because they feel like they're undervalued and, you know, you can't understand why. And then now you're coming off as some sort of like overprivileged, you know, non-sympathetic person. So I think that it is great that we are able to have these open discussions and just trading the information, like, you know, just looking at the impact. I mean, it was a Black man that founded the city of Chicago, one of the major cities in the US, and no one's really talking about it. He was a great businessman too. Forgot to mention that part earlier on, but he was a big time fur trader. His name was Jean-Baptiste Pont-du-Sable, which any, you know, for all of my Haitians and other French-speaking people, like anytime you have like a do whatever in your name, that's, you have some sort of like place and privilege in society. And here's a Black man, you know, of course it was from slavery, but once we came into the fur trading industry and then was able to negotiate deals with the natives on behalf of the British and then later on the Americans, here he is now establishing a post on Lake Michigan, and which grew into one of the, like, probably, I think it's like the third or fourth largest city in the US. So that's an achievement. And just being able to say, hey, I mean, we're not trying to ram it down anyone's throat, but just to point out, like, you know, this cool thing that you enjoy, this you may not have known about, was actually it was created or invented by a person of color, a Black person, out of some sort of divine inspiration, like even having the home monitoring system, like our security system that we know and love today, like ADT, you know, Johnson Controls Company, they based this model, the CCTV model, on a Black inventor. And actually, she was a nurse, Marie Van Britten Brown from Queens, go New York. she invented it back in 1966, and that was having those cameras be able to roll up and down a column to look through peepholes to, and also having the whole system be, you know, standalone and able to operate and record and everything like that was a pretty big deal. But, you know, we don't hear about that when Sloan Shield and, yeah, and all these other big companies, you know, they put their stuff out there. They, you know, yeah, that kind of gets lost. Like, it just seems like, oh, it was, you know, just an obscure invention. And no, this was a very intentful invention. So yeah, just to see that, you know, it's that small thing impacted so many, so many other facets of our lives and so many industries that, you know, it's important to just highlight that.
I think we really need to think about this diversity word and really think about what it means, because diversity is not the same as inclusion and equality is not the same as equity. And I think a lot of the time companies can come around and say, yes, I'm diverse, but are you inclusive? You know, does everybody have equal opportunities? Can a Black person of a certain age achieve the same thing as a white person of that age? So I think it's really important for leadership of company to really think about these words and think about what it is that it means to them, and think about how these can be implemented in their core values.
I do agree with that. And for me, it's one of the reasons why I'm here today is because obviously I'm ally. Initially, prior of me going to Sierra Leone, I thought I was an advocate. But then I became an ally. You know, although advocate sounds very well, you advocate for something, if you don't action that, the word means nothing. So I think that it is very important to actually understand the meaning, the actual definition of these words, in order of us to actually provide the best.
Yeah, I think, just to wrap up, I think just my final point as well, I think it's really important what Lucia mentioned, in that we need to think about diversity as well as inclusion. And we need to think about equity and equality and the definitions of those words. And I think the fact that we've highlighted a lot of the key achievements and influences from Black history, you can see that's helped businesses grow over time. That can be the same for our own company. That can be the same for other companies. So it's important to highlight that the history that we've highlighted today from African Americans and Black people in general, they can also impact business. So I just wanted to wrap up now, actually. I think what's been common for the DC Diversity Dive podcast are a few quick fire rapid questions. So maybe if you give a one liner to these questions, please, and then we can slowly wrap up. So the first question I have is, what are the best and worst pieces of career advice you've ever received? Obviously relating to the podcast very quickly.
Some of the worst advice I've ever gotten was, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The worst advice I've ever gotten was to pretty much to just leave where I was at and not try to actually like have an impact or do something, you know, like something in a positive direction. And the best advice I've gotten was to seek mentorship, you know, always, you know, seek someone who can give you good advice and, you know, not just from like a business standpoint, but also, you know, like from a faith-based, and just also, you know, having that relationship also with who you believe is your creator and who I believe is my creator. And so it's like that kind of strengthened me also to persevere in a lot of those like rough patches that we all go through, you know?
How about you answer that question, Tunde?
I think one of the best I've received is leveraging networks. A lot of the way that you can be successful in business, in your careers, is leveraging the people around you, whether it be mentorship, just getting advice from them, and just, you know, people are the best people to influence your career and your progression. So try to make good working relationships and understand who people know and what kind of knowledge they have, and leveraging both of that as well, of course. And then I guess the worst piece of advice, I guess the next rapid fire question I'd say, and I think this is one of the DC values, is why should we be change agents? So what does being a change agent mean to you?
Well, you can't really complain about something if you're not willing to do something about it, really. So in that sense, it's very important to be the person that you you want to see, and you know, to start practicing some of the values that you're talking about.
For me, being a change agent, it is to, you know, we got an opportunity to redefine things that has happened in the past and just make it better. So it is a lot of weight on our shoulders to design a new world or environment where we want to be in and to break the barriers and bias.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that being, yeah, that change agent is so important that, you know, make yourself open and available to those questions that people may have. And you know, it's so important that we just not seem so standoffish and shut off, like, you know, just to be afraid. Like, I think that we've gotten further because we did have conversations and ask questions. And just like, you know, Louisiana said, you can't really complain about something if you're not willing to do something about it. And, you know, just like Becky also stated that it's important for us to move forward. So what it would look like for me, would I would just, you know, make myself available, also reach out to other cultures and factions, because I, you know, I've gone from public school to private school. I've gone from predominantly, let's say, white institutions to also had a lot of friends that went to HBCUs. So we have different walks and these different paths that still connect and intertwine and intersect a lot. That's where the change happens, when we intersect and we can actually like come together on it.
A big thank you to Sean, Louisiane, and Becky for taking the time to discuss these topics that are associated with Black history. These conversations are vital to how we encourage an inclusive and diverse environment in which all employees can thrive, regardless of their race, culture, or background. Thank you for listening to this discussion, and please look out for more content from Delta Capita on our website, deltacapita.com, or our LinkedIn page, and lastly, our Instagram, delta.capita.